You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things from the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's Monday, January 25th, and after an exciting weekend of conference championship play, the Steelers had a couple announcements. Well, one official, one unofficial. We'll get into those in the first segment. Then, some moves were made, announced, slash rumored, about the quarterback position and who might be available. We'll talk about those players and whether or not Steelers fans should realistically be looking for them to be open. Then finally, we'll talk about what happened in those conference championship games as both the Chiefs and the Buccaneers made the Super Bowl. That means you know who, and you know who all are playing in 2 Sundays from now. Let's get into it. Well, happy Monday, everybody. Glad we get to start the week together here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. Let's get to the Steelers talk now. I know you're probably fresh off the playoff talk. That's going to come last. We're going to deal with the Steelers stuff first because this is the Locked On Steelers podcast. First things first, Steelers get Vance McDonald, their tight end. He retires from the NFL. That announcement came Friday morning to be exact. So it was, a little after the show was, several hours after the show was recorded. But, that came out. So we're going to talk about this now. And it's kind of crazy because, Vance McDonald, I'd heard rumors that he was considering retiring before, going into this last season. But he came back and he looked, he looked like he could play. He just wasn't getting the opportunities to catch the ball. But the guy fought hard. He was a guy you traded a fifth rounder to get. He gave you some memorable moments. Of course, when he stiff armed Chris Conte into the Phantom Realm. That's good for him. He got his money as an NFL player. Congrats to him on a career, and wish nothing but the best for him. Marquise Pouncey though is the story, and is the other part of this story. And there's been rumors that he was going to retire after the Browns game. We speculated on it. There's a lot of people who thought that's been the case. And it hadn't been officially announced, and it still hasn't been. But it does look like Marquise Pouncey is going to retire based off of reports from Dale Lally and Jerry Dulac, both guys whom I highly respect. Dale Lally, of course, with me at dkpittsburghsports.com. You can also get all his coverage there at dkpittsburghsports.com. But he went this out, and it's funny, we also have Ramon Foster, who's a Steeler, he's the recently retired Steelers offensive lineman, and he said, fake news, I ain't heard this yet, but I'm getting the sense just from, talking to Dale and just looking around, I'm getting the sense that this is a real thing with Pouncey, that he's going to retire. There was a report that a Steeler didn't have their exit interview with the team. There's no way to tell who that was. Maybe it was Pouncey because he knew he wasn't coming back. Who knows? That's purely speculation. I'm not saying that it was Pouncey, but to me, it makes a lot of sense for Pouncey to retire here. There's just the way that he played isn't worth the cap hit that he's going to impose on the team. Again, by him retiring or them cutting him. And the thing is, if Pouncey was to leave the Steelers this year, I mean, he wouldn't get a great contract to go somewhere else. He'd have to learn a whole new offense. His body's extremely beaten up over the years. He wouldn't do that. And this year, he would be a $14.4 million cap. He's just not worth that anymore. If this was 2016 Pouncey, different story. And 2017 Pouncey, even that. But over the past few seasons, he's kind of started to fall off. He can't pull and hit people in space as well. He's not as physical at the point of attack. And now he's having trouble snapping. So I understand this move whenever this is officially announced. But here's the thing with both of these moves: $8 million for Pouncey's retirement come off the books, and $5.2 million of Vance McDonald's money. Now, I'm not good with my maths, but I believe that's $12.3 million that comes off the, or 13, jeez, I messed it up. Yes, I did. Yep, because 5 plus 8 is 13. I am horrible at math. Anyways, $13.2 million comes off the Steelers cap. Now, granted, the projected cap space right now, not looking too good. It's still to be projected, but according to Over the Cap, with the projected cap space as it is, the Steelers would be $34 million over the cap. This would knock that down to $21 million over the cap. Now, that makes it much more reasonable. I know you're looking at, well, how in the world is that going to work? Well, they can spread a lot of money down the line. Don't forget, in 2022, they have $171 million of cap space still lined up. That's easy enough to be able to say, hey, TJ, what if we sign you to a longer deal, get your fifth-year option out of the way, you know, get that done. Let's say they say, hey, Steven Nelson, we like the way you're playing. We're going to spread it. We're going to sign you to an extension. Let's kick, you know, maybe $3-4 million of you down the line. The same thing may go for, you know, Stephon Tuitt or David DeCastro, you know, other guys on the team that you could work with there. And there's still some tough decisions you got to make. And one of those, of course, is going to be Ben Roethlisberger with how you kick his money down the line. But for me, these two decisions were no-brainers. They were guys that just, you know, they had reached their time with the Steelers, so it makes a lot of sense. And both gave great effort throughout their career. Marquise Pouncey, an all-time center, you know, maybe the best center of his decade in the 2010s. You know, and it's crazy. Yeah, as great as he was for the team, he's maybe the third best center in the team's history because they got Mike Webster and Damani Dawson. But that's not saying nothing when you're behind those guys. So all that being considered, two key things going on there. Still look out for the Marquise Pouncey announcement. We'll see what happens with that. We'll get to be talking about that in the next. You know, well, we have all season to talk about, but we'll talk about this soon on the show. A little bit more this week about what do you do with the opening at center, and where do you invest? Because there's a lot of questions that people have with the offensive line, with running back, with wide receiver. If Juju goes, with cornerback, there's going to be a lot of questions about where you invest and how you get to put the team together moving forward. But we got a lot of time to talk about that. Okay, I'm going to go to my first break here. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the quarterbacks because everybody's talking about the quarterbacks. We talked about Deshaun Watson. Well, two more names popped up this weekend. Great. We'll talk about that right after this. But first, a message from our friends at Echelon. Introducing Echelon Fit, the evolution of fitness. When it comes to getting or staying in shape, nothing feels as good as that feeling of accomplishment, of hitting your fitness goals and feeling great about yourself. Echelon can get you there. Echelon offers the next generation of connected fitness bikes, fitness mirrors, rowing machines, and their Echelon Stride smart treadmill. No matter what your favorite fitness activity, Echelon gives you a fun and challenging workout from the comfort of your own home. The EX7S is Echelon's latest state-of-the-art innovation that takes cycling to the next level. The EX7S connected bike is built with performance, flexibility, and durability in mind, and the EX7S is the bike for competitors at heart. Their world-class instructors will motivate you with thousands of daily live and on-demand studio-level classes always available when you need them. Unlike their competitors, Echelon is affordable for everyone, and one membership lets up to five family members all work out at the same time. Right now, you can try any Echelon fitness equipment at home for 30 days. Go to echelonfit.com/lockedon. That's Echelon fit.com/lockedon. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. So I want to give all of you guys and gals, Steelers fans, a chance to get ahead of the game and not be one of the people that gets pointed at and retweeted to be crazy. Because what I'm talking about is the quarterback carousel that's going to be happening for some time this offseason. Because every time a quarterback's available, everybody in the world is saying, going to the Steelers, going to the Steelers. Now, the Steelers, you got to get them. You got to trade everything to get them. Now, I'm not saying that it wouldn't be great to see some of these guys here. You know, Deshaun Watson was the hot topic a couple weeks ago. Maybe that was last week. I don't know. I'm sorry. The pandemic's still going on, and my week's mashed together, y'all. I apologize if my timing is off for some of these. But you know, Dwayne Haskins was one that was brought up, and he was brought in. Most people were saying no, but when you bring him in for a reserve future contract, that's a different story. Also, rest in peace to Tony, because his boy Devlin Hodges was picked up for a futures contract with the Rams, which most likely means he will not be coming back at training camp next year. So there's that. But the two guys that came up this weekend and restarted this conversation all over again. First, it happened with Matt Stafford. It came out that he did not want to continue his contract with the Lions. He wanted out of Detroit. That's a big deal. And when you look at that, you're like, oh, snap. Matt Stafford? Huh? And so then everyone would say, go get him, Steelers. That's the guy to get. Go get him. And then some people would say, well, don't go get him. He's never won a playoff game. You can't bring that guy into the Steelers. Well, why not? He has a big arm. He never had a chance. And so that debate was happening. And we didn't even get really 48 hours before we had the next one. Because then as soon as the Packers lost the NFC Championship game to the Buccaneers, there was a question to Matt LaFleur, the Packers head coach, after the game. Will Aaron Rodgers come back? And he's like, man, I hope so, but no. His answer wasn't yes or I'm not worried about that. It was kind of ambiguous, and you're kind of like, uh-oh, does that mean Aaron's not coming back? Because everyone knows Aaron wasn't happy with the drafting of Jordan Love at the quarterback position in the last draft, all that stuff. So now, then, of course, everyone says Aaron Rodgers. Who what are the top landing spots for him? Pittsburgh Steelers. He's got to go to the Steelers. And it's just like, did we just get off this train? I mean, give me a break. Let me call the fans down about the last one you were just talking about. No, we got to still do this all over again. But it's every time a quarterback's going to come. And I got to say this. There's a few things to this conversation that need to be had. If Ben Roethlisberger retires, it's a completely different story. Because then they're going through a lot more rebuilding. And that's something different. But if Ben Roethlisberger agrees to stick around, because again, everyone's going to say, well, what about the money? You need the $19 million. If he can move a good bit of that $19 million down the road, even just to next year's, 2 years from now, salary cap, that can open up a ton of space for the Steelers. And maybe he feels like, well, hey, if I don't got to throw the ball 40 times a game, if I can just be a game manager and you guys, I take a little bit less money and you guys build a running game around that, I can be around for that. I think that's the direction that they're going to try to go. But I don't think they're going to just abandon Ben unless he's inconsolable about moving his money. If he's inconsolable at that, then it has to be, all right, well, dude, the decision here is not you get what you want, or we hope that you do better. It's the Steelers have the position to say, Ben, you better take less. You better find a way to move some money and help us make moves right now, or else. And that's where I'm at, because with Ben Roethlisberger, that decision has to come first before you're even considering who you might trade for and what quarterback might be available. Because at the end of the day, still, if Ben's gone, so you free up $19 million in cap space, you're going to end up having to free up more money elsewhere. And like I said, with these last two moves, the Steelers freed up about $13.2 million. If Ben comes off the books with that, that would knock it down to about, I think, $2 million of cap space of cap space that they still need to clear just to get to the line where they're even with their cap space. Because right now, as we speak, they are officially $34 million over the cap. Again, Vance McDonald takes $5.2 million off it, so that knocks it down to 29-ish, 28.9-ish. And then that number gets knocked down to almost 20 by $20 million by Marquise Pouncey's retirement that we are presuming is coming very soon because of the reports we've gotten from Jerry Dulac and Dale Lally. But now you throw in Ben Roethlisberger. If he were retired, that would knock it almost back down to even. And then that would put you in a position where, okay, now you can look at, you can look at guys who you're trying to extend. Steven Nelson, do you push his money down the line? But then you also got to look at, well, if Ben Roethlisberger's not going to be around, you know, then you decide, do you go get the quarterback this year? Because if you go get somebody, if you go get an Aaron Rodgers or a Matthew Stafford, those guys ain't going to come cheap. And I'm not just talking about in trade value. I'm talking about in cap value. Matt Stafford, I believe the money that would move over for this upcoming season, his cap number is $33 million. As I understand it, I'm not a cap wizard, and I admit that freely on this show. If he were to come to Pittsburgh, I think the cap space that he would take up, I think, for his first year, would be $14 million. So, again, he comes over, that cap space is immediately gone that you basically got from Ben leaving. And I believe Aaron Rodgers is the same way. This says the team would that the Packers would have to hold on to a lot of dead money this season, $31.5 million. That's a lot of money for them to keep. So maybe that would work for them for just this year to bring Aaron Rodgers. But again, what are you giving up for this? Because if you go get a Matt Stafford or an Aaron Rodgers, you got to give up pieces. You got to give up a first-round draft pick. And they need a first-round draft pick either to get the running back that they need or the offensive lineman they need. But they need to invest in the run game. They need to invest in blocking because you're losing Marquise Pouncey. You're Alejandro Villanueva ain't it no more. If they trade for one of these guys, they're going to put themselves in a position where A, the money's going to be tight, just as tight, and B, you're going to lose assets that you need to keep building the team moving forward. Because here's my theory behind this. The move you ultimately want for the Steelers, I think, the clearest path to maintaining a chance to compete next year and to get hot in other areas and maybe you make things work out, is if Ben sticks around, you develop a ground game, your offense runs through that, and again, it don't got to be a top 10 offense. If it's a 12th best offense, and the Steelers were ranked 12th this year, but when I'm saying 12th ranked, in the later part of the season, you're still playing better. The reason the Steelers were ranked 12th was because at the end of the season they tanked. They were the number 4 offense before they fell off of a cliff. They were playing at an unreal level. If you play as a balanced level, that 12th feels a lot better because you're not scoring, 12 points against the Bengals or something like that, however many points they scored against them in that game. My point is that with Ben Roethlisberger as less of the facilitator that everything goes through and more of the game manager or the guy that you just, hey, Ben, we're going to run the ball a lot. We just need you to make the big throws when we call play action or when we want to fool people. But the emphasis is to get this line going. You do that for a year or two and you get ready to save up your assets to go get a rookie quarterback. But here's the problem. If you go get a new quarterback right now and you give up a draft picks, or if you trade up and go get that quarterback in the first round this year, the issue is that quarterback's still going to have those same holes in the offensive line that you're complaining about right now. And that's with Ben Roethlisberger. And yes, Ben's not mobile, but Ben is at least seeing those things. And that was another aspect of him and Pouncey's chemistry. The two of them could see so much and be like, all right, they're coming from this way, they're coming from that way. That's experience. That's value. And a rookie quarterback with a new center that's not top-notch, or at least, decent, you're putting that guy at a lot of risk. I think you'd put yourself in what we said what would happen to Joe Burrow with the Bengals, and then you saw what happened to him. He got an injury because his offensive line was horrible. Now, granted, I think that the Steelers are closer to a full offensive line than most people give them credit for. I think David DeCastro is better than what he looked this year because it was obvious he was injured all training camp. He wasn't practicing for most of it. And then eventually when he came back a month into the season, he was obviously a different person. You give that another chance because David DeCastro in all the previous years was dynamite as an offensive guard. Kevin Dotson's coming back. You like what he showed you. Now you get to decide. Do you want to rely on Okafor? Do you want to try to sign Zach Banner for cheap? Because he really didn't show anybody anything, so it's like no team's going to come in offering him a ridiculously high contract. Maybe you sign him to something for cheap, and he's one of your cheap pickups in this year in free agency. And then maybe you draft a center or sign a center in free agency that you think will be decent this year and just hold down the fort. And then maybe you draft an offensive tackle you feel really strong about at some point. But either way, those are things that you all have to do, that if you trade for another primo quarterback right now, an Aaron Rodgers, a Matt Stafford, a Deshaun Watson, you're going to put them right into this situation where, and again, they're probably not going to have Juju, because if you get them, you're going to run out of cap space for him too. So I'm trying to help you Steelers fans out. There's a lot of reasons why I wouldn't be on the just trade whatever you got to get the next franchise quarterback, from another team when he's over. Because I mean, don't forget, Aaron Rodgers is up there. It's not like you get him and you're good for the next 10 years. He's 37 years old. He's not too far behind Ben. Now, granted, Aaron Rodgers is a lot better at 37 years old than Ben Roethlisberger is right now. Despite his team losing this last game, he still plays at a much higher level. I think he's one of the better processors of the game. He's right up there with Brady and Mahomes, who are duking it out in the Super Bowl. More on that in a second. But, again, you go get him over. You'd have to, I mean, and again, if they can pull it off and make the numbers work, great. I just don't know how they make the numbers work. Because the Packers, they wouldn't want to give up Aaron Rodgers for more than, for less than a first and a piece, or a first and another pick. Another serious pick, maybe two firsts. You know, the guy's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, and you're going to be like, come on. So that's my stance here, is that if the Steelers are losing their guy, if the Steelers go get one of these guys, they're going to be missing several other key pieces that you're talking about right now. And unless that guy is otherworldly, and Aaron Rodgers can be otherworldly, and maybe he can make it work. But then next year, when you're sitting there and he's under pressure from an offensive line that he has that you haven't invested in, you're going to be mad again when he's getting hit and having to dodge people in the backfield all the time. So all I'm saying is, be patient. No need to jump on the trade for this guy or trade for that guy bandwagon just yet. Let's see what the Steelers are deciding. If Ben moves his money, it's a different story, and then you could get to rebuilding. And then next year, if Ben, you know, going into 2022, if Ben isn't around anymore, you have a ton of cap space, then you make the move at quarterback. Maybe then you trade, because then also by then you've probably invested in your offensive line. You've probably invested at running back. You've probably signed some guys that you're able to keep. And then also you're going to have more space to sign other free agents and other key players that you like. But right now, your options are kind of limited. And the best thing to do is to keep building your young nucleus of players, because again, they have a young nucleus of players. I know people say that the Steelers have no assets right now, like they're the Cleveland Browns of, you know, when they were 0-16, or the Jets right now, or the Jaguars right now, but they're not. They still have T.J. Watt. They still have Devin Bush. They still have Minkah Fitzpatrick. They still have Stephon Tuitt, Cam Hayward. Kevin Dotson's a really good rookie that looks like he's on the rise. Chase Claypool just had 13 touchdowns. Deontay Johnson looks like a really good wide receiver. You still got good role players like James Washington. You know, Terrell Edmonds when he's not hurting with his shoulder. You know, Alex Highsmith looked good this year. Again, lots of good. I mean, Joe Hayden, Steven Nelson, they were two of the better cover corners in the league this year. Not that either of them were elite, but when you look at their numbers and the amount of yards that they gave up, you're like, whoa, wait a second. No one really picked on these guys all year. So I look at this and I say, this team still has a lot to offer and a lot to build around. And if you break that, I think you're messing up your chance for when you might actually have a real chance at a run. And that chance may come next year if they can get the right pieces to build the run game. Ugh. We're going to be talking about that a lot this offseason, I'm telling you right now, because a lot of people are going to have their hot takes here. But we've got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about those playoff games, because the things that you didn't want to happen, for most Steelers fans, they happened. So we're going to get you through that. When we come back, we'll deal with that. But first, we got to talk to our friends at Built Bar. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Built Bar is great for the health-conscious person and helps someone lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat during the day. Built Bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, but high-protein and high-fiber, and they're great for a keto diet. Instead of when you're tired and hungry at work and you need a boost to get through the day, instead of going to the vending machine and getting those cupcakes, or those Pop-Tarts, or those potato chips, get something healthy like a Built Bar. It'll fill you up, taste great, and get you through the rest of your day with the energy that you need. And Built Bar comes in 18 amazing different flavors. 6 of those new flavors are caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. You can get all those flavors by going to their website right now at BuiltBar.com. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, Locked On, and you'll get $10 off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, for $10 off your next order at BuiltBar.com.
And don't forget, Locked On listeners, if you're going to bet anywhere, you've got to bet on BetOnline.
BetOnline.ag. It's the one place we trust to place our bets here on the Locked On Podcast Network. And if you sign up today for your free account, you can get a 50% bonus on your deposit by just entering the promo code Locked On. That's LOCKEDON, Locked On, when you sign up for your free account. Of course, now the Super Bowl is set. You're going to be able to bet on that and several different prop bets that are out there. But with the Chiefs playing the Buccaneers, looks like the Chiefs are favored by 3.5 points. The over-under is at 57.5, with the money line at Chiefs minus 180, Tampa Bay Buccaneers plus 160. You can get all those details on betonline.ag. Get in on the action. Get off the sidelines. Play some bets. Have some fun. And don't forget, sign up with that promo code to get your 50% welcome bonus deposit by entering Locked On as your promo code. LOCKEDON, Locked On, all capital letters, all one word. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Speaking of those Super Bowl game, let's talk about what just happened in those playoff games, right? Both games were exciting, but the first game was back and forth. Tampa Bay jumps out early, Green Bay comes storming back, and then Tampa Bay gets out with a big lead by the mid-third quarter. And then you're thinking, well, this is a wrap. And then all of a sudden, Aaron Rodgers starts getting busy, moving the ball down the field. Then, of course, there's the field goal attempt that, you know, everyone was like, why'd you kick a field goal there? And then there's the controversial call at the end of the game where it's like, yes, it was defensive holding, but, you know, you should have, why didn't you call it at all once during the game when it was obvious it was happening? You know, all that happened. And then in the other game, you got Kansas City really just handing the Bills the business. Or giving them the business, however you want to use that idiom. But either way, they showed who was boss in the AFC, and was it bad? I mean, when you think about it, at one point it was 38-15, and I know they got to like 24 at the end of the game there, but really it wasn't even that close. If Mecole Hardman doesn't fumble the ball early in the game to give the Bills the position for their first touchdown, you're probably looking at a 38-9 type of game. You know, late in the fourth quarter. That's how bad that was. But either way, as we talked about last week on the show with D9 and Pietro, what most Steelers fans were rooting for was they had their cheese heads on and they was diving through tables because you was rooting for the Packers and you was rooting for the Bills because you didn't want to see Kansas City and Le'Veon go into the Super Bowl, you know, after his time with the Steelers, and you didn't want to see Tom Brady and Antonio Brown going to the Super Bowl after the Steelers. Now, again, as we all, you know, we did a poll and it was, you know, almost unanimous. Everybody would have preferred Le'Veon Bell over Antonio Brown, but now you get both of them. Because Le'Veon Bell, again, he didn't do anything to the Steelers. He just simply, he wanted more money. He took a gamble on how he wanted to approach that. It didn't work out. And, you know, he moved on. But, you know, he didn't like, you know, blow up a trade for the Steelers. He didn't, you know, embarrass everyone like that. He took a gamble on himself and he missed, you know, but he did get his guarantee money. So I guess you could say he didn't miss whatever. You know, it's him and Antonio Brown ain't the same. There ain't videos of him throwing, you know, gummies, you know what, at police officers in the street. There's not warrants out for arrest. He wasn't put in a jumpsuit at any point in time like Antonio Brown was. You know, that's a different story. And all the stuff that came after Antonio Brown and how he badmouthed the team and the things that he said. But Tom Brady is the other factor here. Because now you got to hear about it. He's been to the Super Bowl. This is his 10th Super Bowl appearance. He's getting a chance to win his 7th Super Bowl. And yes, that's not the same as franchises. That's not the same as, you know, like, you know, the Patriots getting their 7th or, you know, another team getting their 6th. But still, Steelers fans, we know. Tom Brady ain't liked over here. I know it stinks. It hurts. You know, everybody, I mean, I could feel like the general disgust in Pittsburgh when they realized Tom Brady was going to win this game. My old man texted me and was like, can you believe this? and again, for those who might be listening who aren't, you know, of Steeler Nation, you're just here for a good time and you're just scouting things out. To me, I've always felt like Tom Brady wasn't truly hated until the cheating scandal came out. Because when he beat the Steelers in 2001, it was like, all right, that happened. And he didn't even beat him in 2001. It was Drew Bledsoe that beat him in 2001. And then in 2004, he beat them in the playoffs again. He beat the playoffs, and that was the time he beat them in the playoffs. But it was like, yeah, it was Ben's rookie year. You know, that happened. And then the Steelers won the Super Bowl the next year, and then they never played him in the Super Bowl in the playoffs again until 2016. And that was a 12-year gap. But to me, it all got worse as time went on. And Tom Brady, it was revealed that the Patriots were cheaters, and then no one wanted to call them cheaters, and everyone, you know, and again, you know, we did the joke over the summer. I might bring it back. I got not enough time in my time to see the editing to put all the asterisks in whenever we talk about Tom Brady and the Patriots. But you know, the time when Tom Brady ran afoul with most people was the multiple cheating scandals. First, the Spygate that, you know, no one wanted to admit was as big of a deal. And it's funny, you know, how every time it's Spygate or deflating footballs or Spygate a second time, you know, and all these other things that they're doing, it's not a big deal. But every time there's a bounty gate or a steroid or a this or a that or, you know, all these other things, it's all of a sudden it is a big deal. And I think that's where I think a lot of Pittsburghers run afoul with Tom Brady. It's like, you don't like that guy. Because you know what? I think if Patrick Mahomes goes on the next 10 years and is beating everybody, if the Chiefs are clean about it and he's just the best player in the league, it's like, man, you want to beat him and you hate that, but there will be a respect there. There's a lot of people that don't have that respect for Tom Brady. I still say all the time, he's the best processor of the field that I've ever seen. The way that he just understands where you're at, where you're going to be, and what part of your game he needs to hit is astounding. The thing is with Patrick Mahomes, he is right now, he looks like that, and he's doing it at an age when Tom Brady wasn't doing that. Tom Brady early on was just a great competitor who could make clutch throws, but he couldn't do it all game. You couldn't run all the team through him. In his first three Super Bowls, he was a great part of the team, but there was so much else built around him. And then when they, you know, over the next few years, when they retooled things, they got Randy Moss, and they started loading up on more players for him. They got him Wes Welker, and they get this guy, that guy, and then you're like, oh snap! And then he's putting up like 50 touchdowns in a season, and he's going ridiculous. You know, however many, all the numbers that he put up, then you're like, okay, now he's on fire, and he's in this organization that just knows what they're doing around him. That's where I'm like, ugh, you know. That's when it's like, okay, Tom Brady's on another level. But Patrick Mahomes is doing that right now. This is the point of Patrick Mahomes' career where he if he was a gunslinger, if he was like young Ben Roethlisberger, you'd understand it. But he's processing the field, and he has the athleticism, and he has the cannon, and he's just making great decisions all the time. I mean, that Bills game, he was just a surgeon. RPO, whoop, got you here, got you there. You're falling for it. Gotcha. Every time the Bills thought they had him, nope, they didn't. I mean, in that game, he finished with 29 of 38, 325 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. Sheesh. And again, it's not like they didn't game plan to try to take him away. And they didn't have a dominant ground game. They had a sparring ground game. It was Darren Williams for 13 carries for 52 yards. Mecole Hardman ran a reverse for 50 yards. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was a non-factor, 6 carries for 7 yards on a touchdown. And Patrick Mahomes ran, even himself, he only ran for 5 yards. He just dissected what the Bills were doing on defense, and that's what he does. And that's going to make an interesting matchup, and we'll talk about that for a while. But for me, the biggest part for Steelers fans is, man, I understand. And also Stefan Wisniewski, who was a Steeler this year and was let go because he was injured, and they figured that maybe they can make some moves because he was injured and they needed to get other pieces in because they were injured all over the field. And then they let him go, and then he goes and signs back with the Chiefs, and now he's back in the Super Bowl. Also, former Steeler Steve McClendon, and this one wasn't bad. Ed Bouchette brought this up to me on Twitter. Steve McClendon, you remember him. He was a defensive lineman. He was like the successor to Casey Hampton once he left, and McClendon left for the Jets for a really big contract. But at the end of the year, he was kind of done. He was traded over to the Buccaneers, so now he's in the Super Bowl as well. So another former Steeler is in this game. But again, you're not mad about Steve McClendon, but everyone wants to talk about Bell and AB. And the fact is that one of those dudes is getting a ring. And I know that both of them were passengers. I know some Steelers fans are like, I don't care. I don't care. I think you do if you comment, because there's plenty of people that were on my Twitter account at Carter Zeeks and was like, I don't care about Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. There are nobodies on these teams. Well, but they're still there. And again, to me, the story is the rise and fall and then just riding on these trains to the Super Bowl that they did, because they were both at one point the best player at their position in the NFL. And then they both at one point fell to the point where everyone thought they would never, ever be relevant again. Le'Veon Bell was with the Jets, was a nobody. And not only was he a nobody, he was on a nobody team. And he was never supposed to ever make the playoffs again. He was just going to fade into relevance for the rest of his career and then retire. And then no one would care about him because his rap music isn't good. Antonio Brown looked like he would never play football again because he couldn't avoid being in the news with doing something else that was crazy. I mean, there was at one point we were legitimately fearing that he might hurt himself somehow. But with all that, Le'Veon found his way onto the Chiefs. He's not a factor right now, but he's riding. I'm guarantee you, he'll be happy to finish the year with a ring. Antonio, he didn't play in this NFC Championship game because he's hurt. But I guarantee you, he don't even have to play in the Super Bowl. If they win, he'll be happy. He'll get a ring. And he'll be a Super Bowl champion when several people were like, no, they'll never be a Super Bowl champion. That's where I think a lot of Steelers fans are like, that stinks. But all that aside, I really do think that there's a really good chance this game could turn out to be something where Patrick Mahomes really asserts himself. And ultimately, like we decided this last week, D9 and Pietro, I think Steelers fans can all agree the side that favors where Steelers fans reside more right now is definitely Kansas City. You can live with Le'Veon Bell riding the bench and getting a ring. You're not good. You're not going to be happy if you see Antonio Brown hugging Tom Brady as he wins his seventh Super Bowl and then Antonio Brown wins his first Super Bowl not with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Oof. And again, if you're a Steelers fan and you're like, I don't hate Tom Brady, I agree. I get it. He is a great competitor. But if you're a Steelers fan and you hate Tom Brady, it's understandable. Because, you know, again, when you go back to Spygate, and I know some people try to downplay it, but the fact is when the NFL was doing the investigation and they came across the room where the Patriots kept the tapes and the books and all the things about it, you was upset because the main defense that they broke down with those tapes was Dick LeBeau's, you know, zone blitz. And over the years, that's what, even when Tom Brady wasn't the elite, you know, yards guy, the elite touchdowns guy, he was just a clutch player on a great team. Even when he was that, he could dissect Dick LeBeau's defense. And it would be so frustrating because your defense would play great all season and then run into that guy. And he would just chop it up like it was nothing. And Steelers fans were upset about that. I get it. And then, of course, you know, Deflategate, which, you know, how many times are you going to say, this cheating isn't really cheating, it doesn't have an impact on the game? Okay, then why do you keep doing it? I get those things. But Steelers fans, you're going to have to suck it up, man. That dude's in the Super Bowl again. And he's away from the cheating organization. Maybe you find out something years down the line, but this ain't the same. Because remember last year, the Patriots were caught doing the same things that they were doing to get Spygate going before. The Bengals security staffer caught them filming their sidelines and literally filmed them what they recorded. And it wasn't the game tape. It wasn't, you know, actual B-roll. It was their sidelines and their coaches making signal calls and their substitutions that went with it. It was exactly what they did for Spygate. But the Buccaneers ain't the Patriots. Now, and I think you got to give Brady his flowers for what he did. And yes, he did throw three interceptions, but his three interceptions came in the second half when he already put his team up 28 or 18 points. And that's different than when Ben Roethlisberger has three interceptions in the first 20 minutes and your team's down 28 points. And yes, he gets touchdowns to even out his touchdowns and interceptions at the end of the game, but that's not the same. You know, Tom Brady's mistakes didn't cost the Buccaneers a 28-point deficit. So you got to give Brady credit for that. He continues to make plays, and he found a situation that worked for him. He forced his way into Tampa Bay, where he already had two super receivers in Godwin and Evans. And he went and got Antonio Brown to come. He got Leonard Fournette to come. He got Gronkowski to come. And then the team already had a really good young set of defensive players that are now leading the way with other good vets around them. And here they are in the Super Bowl. We're going to have Tony Serino on tomorrow to talk more about this and more about, you know, because we talked about last week about how we joked that Devin Hodges could come back. Well, now most likely he will not. But there's a lot more angles to tackle on this. And there's another question here. And this is where I'll leave it at for the show. If you're a Steelers fan, do you prefer the Buccaneers right now to win the Super Bowl? Because in your mind, and this is how, don't lie to yourself, this is how Steelers fans think. You want the Steelers to be the first to get 7. And you don't want anybody to pass them, you know, in that time. You want to be the first to get 7. And you see Tom Brady and you're like, "Ah, well, it's the Buccaneers. It's different." And the Buccaneers will be getting 2. And Tom Brady's probably gone in another year or two. And then they'll have to rebuild and they won't be the same anymore. But if Patrick Mahomes wins this one, that gives the Chiefs 3. And you know Patrick Mahomes, he is going to be here for 10, 15, who knows how many more years he'll be here. And he's on fire. And maybe he's the next level of what Brady and Rodgers and all those guys have been, but on a team with, you know, supreme weapons. Tyreek Hill is faster than the Bo Jackson of Tecmo Bowl. Those are the guys that you're worried about, because if they get 3 this year and they keep this team together for next year, they got a good shot of getting 4. And then you're sitting there, wait, what? The Chiefs, all of a sudden, they were a team with 1 Super Bowl for 50 years, and now they're getting in the mix with the Packers and maybe the Cowboys in a few years after that. And then as the Steelers with that 6, you're like, oh, this is a problem. So who would you rather win? Buccaneers? And yes, it means Brady and Brown would win it, but maybe it holds off the Chiefs for just a little bit longer for the Steelers to figure something out and maybe win their 7th in a few years. Let me know what you think at Carter Critiques on Twitter. You could also join and talk about this with other Steelers fans in the Locked On Steelers Facebook group. It's also where we post a lot of polls, have some fun. You can get on the show a little bit more with the questions that get asked there. To find that group, go on Facebook, search Locked On Steelers, ask to join the group, and I'll add you as soon as possible. Thanks so much for listening to the Locked On Steelers podcast. Of course, as always, you can subscribe to the show. We're on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere podcasts are hosted. If you're enjoying the show, please check us out. Leave us a 5-star review with a positive comment on Apple Podcasts. Doing so really helps out the show because it lets everyone know what we're doing here. And if you do so with both of those, a 5-star review and a positive comment, you get a shout-out at the end of the show, as I've given several people over the past year. Thanks to all that do that. Also, if you want to read more of my work, where I do my primary work, I work at dkpittsburghsports.com, where I cover the Steelers and Pitt's football and basketball teams. I work with Dale Lally, who we talked about earlier, and he's the one with the report, along with Jerry Dulac, that Pouncey will be retiring. You can get all of our coverage at dkpittsburghsports.com, where you can subscribe right now. We also cover the Pirates, the Penguins, and, like I said, Pitt, Penn State, and other college teams in the local area. Thanks again for listening to the show. Be back in your ears tomorrow with a Tony Tuesday. Our guy, Tony Serino, back on the show. See you then.